Okay. Okay, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. What we're going to be doing through the year and what we're going to look at as we get to our family camp next year or next spring is grace. So we're going to look a little bit at grace. So chapter 1 of John, there's a great verse there concerning grace. Verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses." And of course, God gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to the people. It says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament, all that God promised. And, you know, Moses was called, he's called the great lawgiver, and he's also called the great redeemer, or the redeemer of Israel, because he brought them out of the land of bondage. So, you know, it makes that comparison, that the comparison between the law, Moses, and grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Now, there's always been grace. God's grace has always been evident from the very beginning with mankind, because grace means undeserved favor. It means, you know, you show favor to someone, has nothing to do with what they do, has nothing to do with them earning it or deserving it in any way. It's just given. It's favor given. And that's a great thing to understand. When you give a gift, it's really not a gift unless you give it without any strings. It's not a gift if you require the person to earn it. Then it's a wage, right? So we're going to look at that. We're going to go to Romans chapter 3 to begin. And we're going to be in Romans the whole time, because Romans shows the great contrast between the law and grace. And we're going to begin in verse 19 of chapter 3 of Romans. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Romans 3, right? So, from the time of the fall of Adam, everybody is guilty before God. Everybody is born with sin nature. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." You know, in the Old Testament, there were different people at different times, Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and God loved them and they believed, and so it was accounted unto them. God watched over them, did things for them. They didn't deserve it, but he did it for them. It says that Abraham, it was accounted unto him for righteousness because he believed God, right? So there's certainly grace there, but then God gave the law. At the time of the law, that gave them an understanding of what was right and what was wrong. And if you didn't know the law, most of you older people have licenses to drive a car, right? And when you get your license, you have to read a booklet and take a test, right? Which gives you the laws on driving. And then there are also other little things that come into play, like traffic signs and things like that. You know, so you're driving along the turnpike, like I was there last night on the, or the, early this morning on the turnpike, and speed limit is 65, and then all of a sudden there's work area ahead, speed limit 40. So the law changes there, doesn't it? That lets us know what's right and what's wrong, and if we transgress it, if we don't do it, then that's sin. We've broken the law. So the law lets people know when they sin, lets them know what sin is. So by the law was the knowledge of sin. You know, men gave, if you read back in the Old Testament, Genesis, Abraham would do sacrifices, and Isaac and Jacob, they would do sacrifices and different things like that. They would worship God. But they did it, you know, I guess God told them what to do. But when you get to the time of Moses and God gives the law, it becomes very specific. And only certain people are then allowed to do these sacrifices. And they have to be done a very specific way. So, it says, but is in contrast. Verse 21, but in contrast to the knowledge of sin, the law, but now is the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or believing concerning Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In the Old Testament, to approach God, to be righteous before God, you had to do the law. You had to do the things of the law. And if you transgressed, if you made a mistake, then you were required to do certain things, right? If you came in contact with a dead body, you had to go and cleanse yourself. And you had to be set apart. If you had certain kinds of sicknesses or diseases, you had to cleanse yourself. You had to set yourself apart. Then you had to bring an offering to the priest. If you committed some kind of sin and you were aware of it, then you had to bring a sin offering. And before you could bring the sin offering, you had to make an approach offering and all this other stuff, see? And then you had to observe the holy days and so on and so forth. It says, but now, instead of the law, instead of doing all that stuff, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by believing of Jesus Christ, or concerning Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely or made righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's pretty great. We're made just, or we're justified, or we're made righteous by believing in Jesus Christ, who was the righteous one, because He fulfilled all the law for us as a substitute. Okay? He did it for us. So now it's by grace. It's a freebie. Isn't it great to have a freebie? My wife gets so excited, she goes to the store and she goes, it was a sale and it was 25% off, and then I had Kohl's dollars and I had a 30% off card, and it only, this thing was $80 and it cost me $2. And last week she did it four times and she saved me so much money, I'm going to end up in the poorhouse. But Jesus Christ did it all for us, and God made that available. We didn't have to earn Jesus Christ. We didn't have to pay for Jesus Christ. All we have to do is believe concerning Him. That is cool. It's not by the works of the law, it's by grace. We should be so thankful for grace. We should just be thankful. I don't care what happens in your life, you should still be thankful. No matter, I got lousy jeans, not as tall as I want, my hair is too curly or it's too straight, I have freckles, I don't have freckles, you know, whatever. Nobody's ever happy with what they have or their body or what they got, you know? I wish they had blue eyes rather than brown eyes. So what? If you're born again, you're going to heaven and you're going to be there forever and you're going to have a perfect body. So the thing you got to put up with now, big deal. Be thankful. What a great thing. Okay, so verse 24 again, being justified, made righteous. The word justified, the word righteous come from the same Greek word. They just translate them differently in the King James because they maybe communicate a different thing a little bit, but it's still referring to being righteous before God, having no fear, no guilt, no shame. Before God, we are righteous, we are perfect, we are beautiful in His sight. Being justified, made righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation. That is an SAT word meaning payment. Through believing in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Because of what Jesus Christ did, all our sin nature, all our sins are washed away totally and completely. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, in the Old Testament, they would cover them up, it said. They could atone for sins, but then when they sinned again, they had to atone for them again. But with us, we have remission of sins. It's all done. And so anytime we make a mistake, we just thank God that He has forgiven us, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, we're just thankful to God because He paid the price for us. Then it says, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, and that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is just and He is the justifier of us that believe. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Okay, let's go to chapter 5, the end of chapter 5. Well, first verse of chapter 5 first. It says, therefore, and that refers to chapter 4 and before, and it's talking about some of the stuff that we just looked at. We're justified because we believe in Jesus Christ, and it gives Abraham as an example that it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We're righteous because we believe. It says, therefore, being righteous by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. That means there's nothing between us. There's nothing between us and God. We have peace. There's no bones of contention. You know, if you're married and you have peace, what is it? There's nothing between you that irks you, that bothers you, that causes you consternation. How about that word? You have to look that one up. I don't even know what it means. I just threw it out there. You know, but if there is something between you, then there's enmity. There's not peace. You have a kid and they don't do what you say, there could be not peace. And if they do what you say, then there's peace. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so there's nothing between us and Him. There's nothing between us and Him, therefore we have peace. We have peace with God. God has peace with us. And the only thing that screws that up is us. Because we don't think we're worthy, or we don't think that God's gonna listen, or we think, well, we're too bad. Why would God do anything for me? Well, because He's a gracious and merciful God. That's why. And so what if you do something wrong? You fall off the wagon, you get back up, and you get back on. God's good at picking people up. Therefore, being justified or righteous by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand. and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have grace. We stand in this grace. And you know what? If you don't stand in God's grace, then you have trouble walking in His grace, in His love. You know, we stand in His grace. We understand. You know, understanding God's grace is understanding that He did all the work, and what we need to do is just be thankful and do our best to do what He wants us to do, knowing that we're not perfect and that we're going to screw up at times. And it's a so what? It's the great so what. That's my words, not God's words. But, you know, there's lots of things in the Word of God. My wife did a really good teaching on it that she heard somebody else do, and she plagiarized it, called "But God." Because no matter what you do, but God will take care of you. But God. You can get a, you know, like you see those Staples buttons, you push the button. You can have a "But God" button on your refrigerator. And so when you make a mistake, you go, "But God has already forgiven me through Christ Jesus. But the grace of God is rich towards me." Let's go to the end of the chapter. Verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Now, if it wasn't grace, it couldn't be a gift. And if it wasn't a gift, it wouldn't be free. You can't, you know how at Christmas time we always hear the song, "You better watch out, you better not pout, you better not cry, I'm telling you why, Santa Claus is coming." Because if you're not good, He's going to mark it down, you're going to get a black mark, you're not going to get gifts. Well, what a lie. If you do that, then they're not gifts. That makes sense, doesn't it? They're not gifts, because then you have to earn it. And we're conditioned to this stuff, you see. You think that's a silly song, has nothing to do with the Word of God. Well, it really doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God, but it's contrary to the Word of God. And that's drilled into us. Gifts are free. It has nothing to do with how good you are. If it had to do with how good you are, none of us would speak in tongues. None of us would have Holy Spirit if it had to do with how good we are. Has to do with how good God is and how good Jesus Christ is. That's why we have Holy Spirit. And it's a gift. It's free. It's by grace. The law was works. We're not under the law. Verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one," and that refers to Adam, right? "The offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And we're the many. We are the many. We're some of the many. Many, many. We're all made righteous because of the grace of God brought to us by Jesus Christ. What a great God. For God so loved the world. Divine favor, unmerited, undeserved favor. We did absolutely nothing to get this except believe. Pretty cool. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." You know, a wise man once said, the way to get rid of all crime is to make everything legal. Think about it. You know, law, by its nature, causes the breaking of law, doesn't it? You know, God, it talks about the times before and old, before the law, it says that God winked at those times. Right? He winked at those times. So, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But in contrast, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. As tough as the law was, as exacting, as precise, as righteous as the law was, God's grace is much more. It's much greater. Jesus Christ fulfilled every single bit, iota, atom of the law, so that we didn't have to do anything except believe. Isn't that great? Grace abounded. It was rich to us. It abounded. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are so blessed. We are so blessed with grace. And grace, you know, we talk about walking in the love of God. Well, what's a great example of God walking in love or loving us? He extends his grace towards us. That's the great action of God concerning us in his love, that he was gracious and merciful towards us. So, if we are going to walk in the love of God, then what do we have to do? Walk in grace. We have to walk in grace. We have to extend favor towards people, whether they deserve it or not. We are to love people, not because they're nice to us, not because we think they're cool, not because they flatter us with words. We are to extend grace. We're to love people just because we are. Just because of who we are. Just because we know what God did for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's grace. Now, you know, when you get into the Word and you do things, there's two ways that people can go, Christians go, with the Word of God and with grace. They can either go into legalism, where they try to control their own lives and the lives of everybody around them, saying you have to do this and you have to do that, and you must do this and you must do that. And you can't do this and you can't do that. And that becomes legalistic. Then the other way to go is the license to sin, where you just do whatever you want, and then you say, well, it's grace, and so I can do whatever I want, God will forgive me. Well, he will forgive you. But let's read on here. What shall we say then? Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? In the Greek, according to the way the syntax and the grammar is, it's God forbid. Is that enough emphasis? I could do it louder and longer.
No.
God forbid! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, now this is figurative and it's to make a point, and I don't know what the figure of speech is, but if you're dead, can you sin anymore? You couldn't make any mistakes in life. You couldn't lie, you couldn't cheat, you couldn't steal, you couldn't hurt anybody, you couldn't murder, you couldn't do anything if you're dead, could you? So from God's point of view, we are dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? Meaning when Jesus Christ died, as far as God's concerned, we died for our sins with him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are to walk in newness of life. That means we're to walk in that mercy, in that grace, in that love of God. God wants us to do his will. Before we got born again, we did our will. We did what we wanted to do. Now we make a decision to do his will. God only wants us to do that so he can bless us, so he can love us, so that he can glorify us, and that he will be glorified in us as we do what he wants us to do. That's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about. That we decide to change our minds to do what God wants us to do. That's where to walk in newness of life. It's like whatever you did yesterday is irrelevant, doesn't matter, it never happened. Because Jesus Christ paid the price, all that matters is right now, am I doing what God wants me to do? That's walking in his grace. And we're to extend that grace to everybody and everything we do. We're to extend that undeserved favor. And when you live like that, that's giving, isn't it? Yeah. That's giving. And when you give, you're going to get a lot of pleasure. You're going to get blessed. You're going to be a happy person. If you're not happy, maybe you need to give more. Maybe you need to walk in God's love and extend his grace in every situation to every person. We're to extend grace. We're to extend favor, God's love to everything and everybody. That's how we're to live our lives. We're to do God's will. See? You know, can we sin so that grace may abound? We could, but is that God's desire for us? God forbid. We're to be dead to sin, and we're to walk in the grace, in the newness of life. In the newness of life. When Jesus Christ arose from the dead, what did he walk in? Newness of life, didn't he? He had a new body. We don't have the new body yet, but we do have that spirit. And we are renewed day by day. We renew our minds so we can walk in newness of life. That's God's love. That's God's love. When we extend grace, when we are loving and forgiving and tender and merciful, and we extend favor to all that we meet, all that we know, all that we live with. We're to extend grace. We're to extend that favor of God. So God, we just thank you that we can renew our minds to walk in that newness of life, that we can walk in your grace, that we can stand in that grace, that we can ever remember to be thankful for all you've done for us, that we're no longer under the law, but that we live by the law of Jesus Christ, that we live in new light, that we're righteous before you because you loved us so much. We can thank you, God, that we are your sons and daughters, that you see us only as perfect and beautiful and your children, and that we can think of ourselves in that way, and that we can see each other in that way. So we thank you for this. We thank you for being such a loving God, such a gracious God. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.